Jamuna Tirabana Chani Jamuna Tirabana Chani Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Adi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Adi Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Namo Namo, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Gaur Hari Bol. Jaya Gandavika Girit, Hari Gandavika Girit, Hari Shri Radhe. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Lakshmi Nishringa, Jai Lakshmi Nishringa, Lakshmi Nishringa, Jai Lakshmi Nishringa. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada.
Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnupad Pranamahansa Pari Vajikacharya, Vashtatara Satasri Simad, His Divine Grace, Iskan Founder Acharya Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribhadikacharya Vashtatara Satasri Simad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Kodi Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Srila Haridash Thakur Ki. Premsukaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Ganadhar Shivasari Gau Bhaktivedanta Ki. Sisi Radha Krishna Gopinatha Shamakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Shri Mathura Dham Ki. Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki. Ganga Jamuna Maya Ki. Bhakti Devi Ki. Tulsi Maharani Ki. Iskan Viviti Founder Chaya Shri Prabhupada Ki. Shri Shri Gandharva Ki Girir Hari Ki. Iraj Maharaj Ki. Shri Shri Lakshmi Narasingha Devi Ki. Itai Go Pimanandi. All glories to dissembled devotees. All glories to dissembled devotees. All glories to dissembled devotees. Glories to Shri Guru and Shri Guru. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service. This is going to be text number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasmad Ekena Manasha Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Shrotavya Kirtitavascha Jaya Pujyash Cha Nityada Tasmad Ekena Manasha Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Yeja Pujyash Jaya Pujyascha Jaya Pujyascha Nityada Jaya Pujyascha Nityada Jaya Pujyascha Nityada Jaya Pujyascha Nityada Tasmad Ekena Manasha Tasmad Ekena Manasha Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Jaya Pujyascha Nityada Tasmad Ekena Manasha Bhagavan Satvatam Pati Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Jaya Pujyascha Jaya Pujyascha Nityada Ekena by one Manasha attention of the mind Bhagavan the personality of Godhead Satvatam the devotees Pati protector Shrotavya is to be heard Kirtitavyaha to be glorified Cha and Jaya to be remembered Pujaya to be worshipped Cha and Nityada constantly.
Translation. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Purport. If realization of the absolute truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. In any one of the above-mentioned castes and orders of life, the four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering, and worshiping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life. Especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified truly or falsely in the daily newspapers. Sometimes political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda, and by such a method of glorification, an insignificant man becomes an important man within no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifested before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of the Janmadi Asya Shloka of this Bhagavatam. The tendency to glorify others or hear others must be turned to the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being, and that will bring happiness. Translation again. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Omagyan timidan dasya ginangina shalakaya chakshara minitam jena tasmai sigurave namaha. Shri Chaitanya manovistam stapitam jena bhutale shvayam rupakadamayam dadanti svapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Guru Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So for the benefit of the translators, I'll speak a little slowly. It doesn't mean I'm becoming senile. It just means that I'm going to speak a little slower so the translators can keep up. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very famous verse in a very important chapter of the Bhagavatam, of course, all the chapters, all the verses are important, but this divinity and divine nature contain many essential verses for the preachers in the Krishna conscious movement. If you take, if you look through the book, I think it's called Favorite Verses of Srila Prabhupada or something like that, published by BBT, you'll find many verses from this chapter. If you could just memorize all this chapter, you'd have a good amount of ammunition for preaching Krishna consciousness. And in this verse, we hear that Prabhupada said, man has a natural propensity for glorifying great personalities. And he gives as an example politicians. Actually, politicians, they spend so much money to advertise their false glories. I don't know in this country, but in America, if you're even considering to be part of a political campaign, to run in some election as, you know, a mayor or a governor or for the Senate or what to speak at the presidency, your first qualification is you have to have millions and millions and millions of dollars, literally. And sometimes that person who has the most money and has the best advertising campaign, regardless of who he or she is, they win the campaign because of this. They spread their so-called glories, advertising that they'll bring by their political campaign, they'll bring great happiness to the people in general. And as a result, at least in the beginning, they're often worshipped by the people. You know, whenever a new political party comes in, AWS, SLD, LSD, whatever it may be, that party is, you know, they're having so many promises. But by the time the four-year period is over, practically the people want to lynch them. They want to hang them. Because, unfortunately, such glorified people are, in fact, just very ordinary men and women without any real outstanding characteristics or qualities or education how to do that business of ruling the people in Vedic culture. A king was practically from 5 years old, he was raised as a prince and taught all the necessary knowledge how to run the kingdom. Nowadays, you know, if you're a movie star or an athlete or a weightlifter or something, and you know, people think, so let's elect this person. So the result is that ordinary men and women, they come to the political platform and they can do very little good for themselves, and therefore they can't do any good for others as well. But not only politicians, because we mentioned politicians because that's what Prabhupada, he used that example, how people like to glorify others, great persons, so politicians, Prabhupada chose that. But nowadays, especially due to, you know, so much facility for communication and media in the world, there's many false heroes. We'll call them false heroes. There's many false heroes in Kali Yuga. They come as musicians in particular. They come as movie actors. They come as athletes. These are the persons who are glorified in Kali Yuga. So people become like that. In Vedic age, who was glorified? Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namo. Those who are truly worthy of such glorification. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and his representatives, the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas were the most elevated men in society. They had the greatest qualifications. And they were considered gods on earth for all practical purpose. If you fed a Brahman, it was understood you're feeding God. Through the mouth of the Brahmana, you're satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because the Brahmana takes everything he has and offers it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Brahmins were held in high esteem in Vedic culture because of their advancement, because of their learning, because of their practical life of penance and austerity, detachment, because of their wisdom, because of their love for Krishna. They were held in high esteem, so people worshipped them. And what was the result of such worship? That by such worship, people rose out of the modes of ignorance and passion into the mode of goodness. And if that Brahmana happened to be a Vaishnava Brahmana, by his association, by her association, one would transcend the world altogether. Mamcha yova bicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityat brahma bhuyaya galpate. By engaging in devotional service, and one part of the devotional service is to glorify the devotees. One who says is my devotee is not my devotee, but one who is the devotee of my devotee, he's actually a devotee. By such glorification of these gods on earth, one transcended the modes of nature. Because once, when you glorify someone, what do you? You're constantly thinking of them. You're meditating on them. And by that meditation on the Lord or the devotees of the Lord, one's mind was purified, one's heart was purified. So these musicians, these movie actors, these athletes, what kind of people are they? And what is the result of glorifying them and being constantly absorbed in thoughts of them? Who are these people? Close to the Sambhavan. Everyone in Kali Yuga is Sudra, more or less Sudra. And these people in particular, these musicians, these movie actors, these athletes, who advocate sinful activity, really. The music's all full of sinful activity. The movies are all full of sinful activity. The athletes' lives are false sinful. Sinful activity. They advocate these activities. They're the personification. They're actually agents of Kali. There's Kali, they're Kali's agents. They're empowered by Kali. They may not be specifically, you know, sent by Kali, you know, but they're empowered by Kali as his representatives. And this way they spread irreligion throughout society. They're handsome, they're beautiful, they're articulate, they're intelligent, they're quick-witted. They're good actors, but their hearts are impure. And therefore, they're agents of Kali, and they spread irreligion throughout society. You see, that the young, why are the young people like they are? Because who are their heroes? People who sing so much nonsense. This, what do they sing about? You listen to the songs, the rubbish they sing about. It's all nonsense. Sex. Mostly sex. 99.999999 sex. And intoxication. And sometimes they get into like things like violence. Kill the cops and stuff. You know, the music in America was just shocked by what, you know, kill the cops, you know, this and this, and bring down the system, and, you know, smoke the marijuana, and, you know, it's all singing, and it gets glorified in the minds of people. They think so, but it's, so instead of being elevated to the mode of goodness and beyond, people become degraded to the mode of passion and the mode of ignorance, and even below that. So these people want to glorify, have a natural tendency to glorify, but the object of glorification, unfortunately, in Kali Yuga is these monsters. There's this one group. I saw a poster. When I saw the poster, I practically had a cardiac arrest. This group was called KISS. The group called KISS. And the men, they look like Yamadutas. You know this group, KISS? They look like Yamadutas. They're not even like ashamed of it. They're proud of it. Yeah! Horrific, ugly features. People, I went to some houses, we were doing programs throughout America. You go into the teenager's room, and it looks like you're going down into Patal Loka, Rasas. These monsters. Who are these monsters? Oh, this is my monster, and this is my monster. I love this monster. So rather than do good for others, they inspire their followers in sinful activity. So therefore, Prabhupada concludes, he says here, literally he says that such glorification of these people, he says, quote unquote, a waste of time. But Bhagavatam knows this tendency. Therefore, later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Svavid Vara Roshta Karai Shamstuta Purusha Pushu Na Yad Karna Pato Peto Jatu Nama Gadha Gaja. Shukadeva Goswami, speaking very graphically, Bhagavatam doesn't hold anything back. Speaks the absolute truth. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. You think of these animals. You understand someone by sound vibration. One time Prabhupada said, you can understand the advancement of a devotee by how they speak. So we can understand someone's realizations by their level of speaking. Oh, what type of living entities are these? Dog. Hog. Camel. Ass. So men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise, again the word praise or glorification, praise those men who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So people are classified as, I mean, they may be human beings, but they're like two-legged animals. There's four-legged animals and there's two-legged animals. They're classified like this because temporarily they're covered over by the modes of rajas and tamas. We know inside they're devotees, but due to their association with the modes of nature and their sinful activities, you know, they have the mentality of a dog, the mentality of a hog, the mentality of a camel. So they like to glorify other hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. But Prabhupada points out in his purport that the tendency to glorify great persons is not unnatural. It's not wrong. It's not unnatural to want to glorify great personalities. It's just misdirected. It's not unnatural because it's our original constitutional position. This is another phrase which Prabhupada coined in his English. Our original constitutional position. You won't read that in any other scriptures or, you know, in Western vernacular vocabulary. One's original constitutional position. The first time I thought that, a constitution, what, you know, the constitution of America, you know, the original constitutional position. But our original constitutional position is that we're all devotees of the Lord, we're all servants of the Lord, and Krishna is number one. In the spiritual world, everyone is in love with Krishna. And when you're in love with someone, what is your the tendency? Always glorifying that person. In the material world, again, unfortunately, to keep going back to the material world, but material world, you know, when you love someone, that person may be ugly as a beast, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and you just glorify, oh, she's like this, and she's 350 kilos, and, you know, God, I just love every inch of her, and, you know, she's got the greatest eyes, and her little pug nose, piggy nose, and, you know, he's very skinny, 7 feet tall, but I love, you're always glorifying. But in the spiritual world, this is the perverted reflection of the material. In the spiritual world, Krishna, he's Purushottam. He's the best of all male personalities. And being the supreme personality of Godhead, he is the proper object of glorification. So in the spiritual world, the devotees are always glorifying the Lord. Every day when Krishna comes back from the forest, his coward boyfriends, all the residents of Vrindavan, they all... God, what did Krishna do? Oh, Krishna, you know, he killed this duck demon. This big akasura came, and Krishna, and Krishna killed. He killed the big snake, akasura, and then our Krishna, he killed the Trinivarta demon. He did this, and Balaram, he killed the akasura, and then they're going on, and Krishna did this. Gopis are always glorifying Krishna's transcendental qualities and characteristics. Madhu Yasoda, effect 20. Kirtana. I'm telling you the rest. Hours a day. Kirtana Yat Sadahari. 24 hours a day, they're constantly glorifying the characteristics of Krishna. So why Krishna? Why are the residents of the spiritual world particularly attracted to glorifying Krishna? Why is it natural to glorify Krishna? Well, that is very nicely described by Parashara Muni, who's one of the great famous sages in Vedic literature, Parashara Muni. He says that a person is considered great or worthy of glorification if that person possesses certain opulences. Just like in our society, certain people stand out amongst others, because they have certain opulences. And he says there's six in number. If somebody has money, he's immediately popular. If famous, people want his association. If someone's very well educated, he stands out amongst others. If someone has strength, they stand out amongst others. If someone is renounced, if someone is beautiful. So Parashara Muni says these are six opulences, and that person who possesses all opulences incomplete, that person is called Bhagivan, and he's worthy of our glorification. So who? In the material world, we see that some person has money, but he may not have beauty. Some person has renunciation, but they may not have strength. Someone has knowledge, but they may not be famous, vice versa, etc. But in the personality of Sri Krishna, we see that he's Bhagavan because he possesses all these qualities in full. Actually, therefore, he's called Krishna. Krishna means the most attractive. And therefore, he's a natural glorification. He naturally should be glorified by all the people. Krishna is the most wealthy because he owns everything. Aham savashit pabhavo matasarvam pavartate. You may have wealth for a little while, but in due course of time, it'll all be taken away, either by the government or by death. But Krishna possesses that wealth in all three phases of time, the past, the present, and the future. Krishna is the most famous because everyone's heard of God. Now, they may believe in God, they may not believe in God, but they've heard the word God. So, therefore, Krishna is the most famous. He has the most knowledge because he's the source of knowledge. Aham savashi pabhavo. He's the source of everything, including knowledge. He is the possessor of all strength because materially, you could say, and his expansion, or Balaram's expansion as Ananta Shesha, he's holding up all the planets in the universe. They call that gravity, but if you had the eyes to see, if you had the mystic vision to see, you would see Ananta Shesha. He's holding up Venus, Mars, Neptune, Uranus, Earth. And spiritually, Krishna says, I am the strength of the strong, meaning for his devotee, Balarama, he gives the spiritual strength. Krishna's the most beautiful because even Cupid is attracted to Krishna. Cupid reigns supreme within the material world. He, with his arrows, he shoots the lust of the hearts of all living entities. But even Cupid, when he comes in contact with Krishna, he surrenders to the beauty of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna's called Madan Mohan. He's the attractor of Cupid. So Krishna's the most beautiful. And he's their most renounced because although he owns everything, he could be enjoying everything and anything, he's only interested in staying in Vrindavan and playing with his devotees. So he's the most renounced. He has all the best toys. He doesn't even want to play with his toys. He just wants to play with his devotees. So he's the most renounced. So the conclusion, Prabhupada's conclusion, is that instead of glorifying mundane people, with one-pointed attention, the Bhagavatam says, we should hear about, glorify, remember, and worship Krishna. So what is the benefit of hearing about, glorifying, remembering, worshiping Krishna? Well, that we can understand by Shukadev Goswami's instructions to Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit, he was cursed to die by Sringi, by a Brahmana boy, within 7 days. And immediately he renounced his kingdom and he went to the bank of the Ganges. And very soon, by the arrangement of the Lord, Brahmanda Brahmatikon Bhagivan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prashad, Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach, by the mercy of Krishna we get Guru, and by the mercy of Guru we get Krishna. So, very quickly, as he was sitting there fasting on the banks of the Ganges, Srila Shukadeva Goswami came along. And after all the formalities were done, Maharaj Parikshit began inquiring from Shukadeva Goswami. And the third to the last verse of the first canto, he says something very similar to this verse. This verse we hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead. One should do that. So in the third to the last verse of the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit, he says a similar thing. He says, please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember, and worship, and also what he should do. Please explain this all to me. Very similar verse. He inquires from Shukadeva Goswami. So Shukadeva Goswami is very enlivened. Oh, this is a very nice question. What we should hear about, worship, glorify, remember. This is a very nice question, he said, because this question is very glorious because it's beneficial to all kinds of people. And then he says, Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari. He says to Maharaj Parikshit, O descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of God, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. So this theme keeps coming up, hearing about Krishna, glorifying, remembering, and worshiping him, both in the first canto and in the second canto, because this verse which we just quoted is the beginning of the second canto. So Shukadeva Goswami answers that question. What is the result, what is the benefit of hearing about Krishna? What is the benefit of spending our valuable time glorifying Krishna? What's the benefit of remembering Krishna? What's the benefit of worshiping Krishna as opposed to politicians, musicians, entertainers? What's the benefit? He says that by doing that, we worship the Lord who is the Savior from all miseries. That's what happens. When you glorify Krishna, remember Krishna, worship Krishna, the result is that you become saved from all misery. How is that? Because Krishna says in Gita, Tesha Maham Samudharta Mrityu Samsara Sagarat. He says, for my devotee, I'm the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. If we attract the attention of Krishna, if we please Krishna, what will the benefit be? But he'll deliver us from the ocean of birth and death. If you worship anybody in this world, what will you get? What can they give you? Even the demigods, what can they give you if you worship them? They can give you some material benediction. But if we worship Krishna, what is the result? Mrityusham Shara Shagara, that we, by pleasing him, he delivers us from the ocean of birth and death. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, so with one-pointed attention, just focus your mind on these activities and direct them to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the verse today says, Bhagavan Satpatam Pati, that that Bhagavan personality of Godhead, he is the protector of his devotees. So if we surrender to Krishna, we get the benefit that he protects us. Who doesn't require protection in this world of Marjaloka, this world of birth and death? It's a dangerous place. So Krishna will protect his devotee whenever required. He'll also protect his devotee from illusion. But that is the most dangerous thing. The Shastra says that even a moment's forgetfulness of Vasudeva, Krishna, that is the most dangerous situation. So that protection is offered even to the neophyte devotee from the very beginning of divorce. Not like, you know, it's like as soon as we surrender to Krishna, the Lord protects us from danger and from the illusory nature of this world. Where is that stated? The protection is offered even to the young devotee. We might think that after a long time our devotion matures and Krishna is very pleased with our devotional service, he begins to offer this facility to his devotee. But he says no, from the very beginning of the moment that you surrender, he begins to protect you. Sarva dharmam paricha ja mame kam saranam braja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha simasuja. This verse is not directed to uttama adhikaris or madhyam adhikaris who are somewhat or very advanced in Krishna consciousness. This verse is directed to people who are not even devotees. The Lord is trying to convince the fallen conditioned souls to take up devotional service. He's offering them some kind of, we say in English, like a carrot. Like to get the rabbit from here to there. You know, the carrot here. Come. Or they race the dogs. They probably don't do that in Europe. In America, they're so crazy. They have dog races, like these greyhound dogs, and they sometimes put something in front of them to get them started, to get them going. So here's a little carrot. The Krishna speaking to the conditioned soul, sarva dharmam paricha ja mame kam. Just abandon all varieties of dharma, all your material kaitava dharma, all the nonsense things that you're doing. Stop that immediately and surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. So who's Krishna speaking to? He's speaking to the people who have not yet initiated or started the process of devotional service. He's saying, here's one benefit. He's not explaining the intimate glories of the holy name or the supreme benefit of devotional service, which is one gets prema or love for him, because they're too fallen. They just won't understand that. He's giving one of the side benefits of devotional service. You become freed from sin. When Haridas Thakur was hearing the glories of the holy name from a council of brahmanas, they rightfully said, oh, you get freedom from sinful reaction, your material desires are obliterated. He wasn't very impressed. But yeah, okay, that happens. But the real glories of chanting the holy names of the Lord is that you get this prema, this love for Krishna. Right? It's one of the side benefits that you get freedom from sinful reaction. One of the side benefits of your material. But that's nice, but it doesn't compare to the ecstatic symptoms of love of God that the residents of Vrindavan are experiencing through their devotional service to the Lord. And Krishna's getting some carrot. Sarva dharmam paricha ja mame. Bhagavad Gita is the ABCs of spiritual life. Sarva dharmam paricha, you become free from this. But devotees require such protection from their sinful reactions, because those sinful reactions, those the seeds of sin there sitting within the heart, it's like a festering sore. And if you're experiencing some sickness, some disease, you can't really concentrate on anything else. You know what it's like when you're sick. When you're feeling the symptoms of a flu or a cold, or worse yet, you have some horrible skin disease or you've got cancer. And all the while, I know the times of my life when I've been ill, the only thing I think about is just getting better. When I had hepatitis for 6 months, I just thought, you know, when am I going to get better? And why is this taking so long? I don't want to be sick anymore. Health is a real opulence, actually. So like that, when we're in a disease condition of life, having to suffer the reactions from our past sinful activities, life's a great struggle. So Krishna kindly removes that by surrender. And then we can peacefully practice Krishna consciousness. We can get down to the real business of life. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. You often hear the word shanti. People are just so much in distress. A little moment of peace is like gold. Shanti, shanti, shanti. When they become peaceful, what do? They go back to their sense gratification. So I remember one of our spiritual masters who was preaching in or was in charge of the Balkans era. To go in and preach there. He said one time that actually this war in the Balkans, he said, this is the best thing that ever happened to those people. Because when there's the war, the people are, there's no opportunity for sense gratification. They're always calling out to God. And as soon as the war stopped, they go right back to their sense gratification. But devotees don't make that mistake. When the Lord removes the reactions of their past sinful activities, loosens their material desires, devotees take every opportunity to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. We have to remember this, realize this great gift of Krishna consciousness that we have. The moment of initiation, the slate is wiped clean. So what? So we can peacefully engage without any anxiety in devotional service to the Lord. So the Lord helps us in all respects. Here it says he's the protector of his devotees. Those who are hearing about, glorifying, remembering, worshiping him, not others, he protects such devotees. Especially those who engage in the missionary activities of Krishna consciousness. Just like the government, they give the special facilities to the soldiers because they're doing the important work. In times of war, the people back home, they're often their food is rationed, petrol's rationed, electricity is rationed. I mean, it was austere. My mother was telling me, she was a little girl, you know, there were no luxuries in life during those 4 years of the war. Life was quite austere. What to speak if you lived in a place like Europe, where, you know, or England, let's say. There wasn't so much fighting on English territory, but, you know, to support the troops and to give them the proper facilities for combat and fighting and enough food and rations, you know, the best was given to the soldiers so they could do their important service. So, and the war against illusion, Lord Chaitanya has his Sankirtan army, and their ammunition is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And we've heard 1,000,000 times that the books are like bombs and so forth and so on, like that. But Lord Chaitanya does give that facility to his devotees because he gives them that peace of mind. He protects them and he gives them all facilities for spreading Krishna consciousness, just like we could see this year. It's such a nice facility. This, every year Krishna's encouraging us more and more. We have such a nice facility this time for, in our base, for preaching Krishna consciousness. And, you know, we can share that, our good fortune, with others. We have to remember that most people are simply, as Prabhupada said in his Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, struggle for existence, the human race. Only hope your divine grace. And as we were traveling this last few months, preaching and fundraising, I really noticed how, you know, everyone is working very hard and no one has hardly any free time. Everyone is working very, very hard. Therefore, I was very appreciative when we would get donations because, you know, that money was like their hard-earned, it was like their blood practically, you know. Everyone is working very, very hard for survival, struggle for existence, you know. To eat, sleep, mate, and defend, you know, it is a great competition and, you know, the modes of nature working against you and Adiatman, Adibhautik, and Adidaivik are also working against you and people are working very, 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 very hard. And they're, you know, when they sing or when they dance or when they can enjoy a good meal or some, a little association, it's very rare. Even in the material, mundane sense, once a week, once a month, once or twice a year. So there's a great struggle. So to have the opulence of being part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, which is simply singing, dancing, fine philosophy, wonderful association. This is a real opulence. To have time to preach, I know many of my godbrothers say they're appreciative that, you know, we have this program because they say, we just don't have time to do this. He said, one devotee said, such an opulence you're preaching. It's such an opulence. I can't even imagine having time to do that. So now we have 3 months. Krishna has made the arrangements. We have 3 months. Of course, it's intense, but, you know, we have 3 months of what you know, many of our god brothers and god sisters, you know, only have an opportunity on a Janmashtami or a Radhastami or a whatever. And the Lord has given us this opulence of preaching. Our time is meant to be used in this way, just singing, dancing, and feasting, and sharing our realizations with others. So let us not waste a moment. I'm saying here that Krishna's saying that he is Bhagavan Satpatam Pati. He's the protector of the devotees. He's protecting us. We don't have to work hard like that. We can simply hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead. We have 3 months, 12 weeks of doing that. And everybody could be doing that. Life doesn't have to be a bitter struggle for existence. It can be a blissful experience of devotional service if people know about the secret. All you have to do is stop glorifying the politicians and the musicians and the, you know, this and then that, and with one pointed attention, hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of God. He'll also give you this opportunity. Life can be a blissful experience. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Gunani tan tityai trin dehi deha samudbhavan janma mrityu jara dukhair vimukto mitam ashnute. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses. And the last verse, the last line of the verse is very important, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. This is one of the verses that convinced me to be a devotee. Because I didn't see how anyone's, I tried to enjoy, but it was just misery. So who can enjoy? This verse says, you can enjoy nectar even in this life. You don't have to wait till you get beyond the modes of nature, beyond the Viraj River, which divides the spiritual and material worlds. You don't have to wait till you pop through that river, and you're in Vaikuntha, place of no anxiety. Krishna says, Vimukta Amritam Ashnate, even in this lifetime, even in this world, you can enjoy nectar even in this life. Where's that nectar? It's such a bitter struggle for existence, the human race. Where's that nectar? Here it comes. Here comes Sri Prahlad with the Harinam party. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For most people, this is the first time they've ever seen or experienced any nectar, tasted any nectar in their entire existence. We're giving that in the form of the Sangatam movement. So we're not just going to spend 3 months on vacation hearing about, glorifying, remembering, and worshiping the Supreme Personality of God. Our vacation is we're going to share it with others. And knowingly or unknowingly, they're going to be swept up in the ecstatic Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they're also going to become, hopefully some of them will also, one pointed attention, come to the conclusion that this is the nectar of life, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Shishi Gandharvika Girid Hari Ki He Giriraj Maharaj Ki Shishi Lakshminara Singhadev Ki Shishi Lakshmina Singhadev Traveling Festival Program Forever Ki Gaur Premanandi. So the day is an especially auspicious day, as everyone knows. It's an unspoken truth, but Devaranayake Prabhu and his good wife or fiancé. Tomorrow I can say wife. Fiancé are going to be take the holy rites of Grihastha order, marriage. Very, very auspicious. When Shamskara means actually a purificatory ceremony, and Shamskaras are very auspicious. Actually the word Shamskara means impression. Shamskara means impression. So at those important junctions in life, there's certain junctions in life where we come out of, you know, one situation and go into the next situation, like Krishna says in Gita. The verse Dehino Sminyatati, Kovanam Yovanam Jara. Kovanam Yovanam Jara. Kovanam means very young, Yovanam means youth, Jara means old age. So there's natural junctions that we go through in our lives. So those important points in life, to become purified and get a deep spiritual impression which remains with us throughout our life, there's Shamskara, certain ceremonies that are performed, very auspicious. So the first Shamskara is in the womb, even before you're born, the Garbhadham Shamskara, husband and wife, they perform certain devotional activities, so the mind is imbued with Krishna consciousness, they conceive a saintly child, and then while within the womb there's a samskara. When the child is born there's a samskara, then there's the name giving, then the hair cutting, and like this, most of them are in youth actually. And towards the end of our youth, we marry, generally. We marry. So that, there's actually 10 shamskaras. There's 10, there's 14, there's 24, but there's 10 basic shamskaras. And most of those shamskaras are there in youth, because youth is a preparation for the rest of your life. Say you live 100 years, so youth is the first 25 years. So it's so important. It's a time of assimilating and learning and practicing and understanding so that you have a solid foundation that the rest of your life you can use in a proper way. To go back home, back to Godhead. So the last samskara, the 10 samskaras, is the vivaha yoga. It's the marriage. And you step from youth into, you know, your, not, we wouldn't say middle age, but you step from youth into the next, into life, you know, with, so the husband and wife, they step together in, on the path of Dharma, serving Guru and Krishna. It's like a form of teamwork, you could say, because it's very, you know, everything's difficult in life. Again, the struggle for existence. So we need all the help we can get. So it's natural that a man and a woman, in one sense, come together, like two halves of one whole, of a whole. And they work together to overcome the difficult problems of material life and to work together in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, in natural. And the wife is considered the better half. How is the wife considered the better half? I had to think a long time about that. But the wife is considered, because generally in Vedic culture, the wife, she's staying home. That's where her place is home. Because she's taking care of children, and children are naturally home. So, and she makes the home like Vaikuntha. You could say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, one day I woke up and I saw my house transformed into Vaikuntha. How? Because householders naturally worship the deity. The wife is cleaning, keeping the house very clean, very auspicious. And the husband goes out in the material world, because when you have to go out in the material world to work, a little contaminating. Business means a little white lies, a little cheating. I am giving you this, I'm selling you this product very cheap. I am hardly making any money on it. And in truth, he's making, you know, 500% increase. So it's, going out in the material world can be a little risky, but when he comes home, the house is nicely, deities are nicely decorated, and prasad is ready, and the wife always has sweet words, even though she may have some problems on her mind. Her husband comes home, oh Prabhu, Hare Krishna, it's so nice to see you. They see our deities are looking. And she'll discuss her problems at another time with the husband. He'll come home and there'll be such a nice atmosphere. So she remains the better half, and that she's practicing the Dharma, keeping everything very Krishna conscious. This is her service to her husband. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj, he wanted an army of sannyasis. He said, but I will create an army of grihastras. Preaching, we saw that in the beginning. Prabhupada had so much confidence in his grihastra couples. He sent them to open up centers. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he sent a few, actually, sannyasis went to the West before Prabhupada, but Prabhupada said all they managed to do was just get darshan with the King and Queen of England and come back home. They didn't really spread the Sankirtan movement of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada did that as when he, as a sannyasi, he went to the West. So Prabhupada, he sent his grihastras, and one time he mentioned how his grihastra couples, they went to England and they spread the Sankirtan movement, you know, everywhere. They were, he said, my godbrothers were sannyasis, they could only meet the King and Queen, and that's all. My disciples have gone to England, and the Sankirtan movement is spreading very widely, so an army of Vyasa. So we're wishing our good fortune for Varanaika Prabhu and his wife today on this auspicious day. They've chosen this day, actually, isn't it, Prahlad? It's astrologically, it's very, very auspicious, so we take that into consideration. So we wish them all the best on the path of life together. Shri Prabhupada ki, Kandarviki Giridhari ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Shri Lakshminarayana Singh Dev ki, Gaur Premanandi ki.